accession number 32507, rule 2.
Support the realtor. So how do you think the preparations before you went to Afghan, how do you think they were they useful, were they, you know, what's your opinion of how good they were?
I think it was like really useful to take through because you knew exactly like what to do, what not to do, what to take with you, what not to take. So you're like all prepped ready for the job as soon as you go out there.
How did you get out there?
RAF TriStar airplane. I'm not sure we're not particularly like first class, but
what's it like when you're travelling in that?
It's a bit like a cattle cart really, or squash crammed in, but that gets the job done. So.
How many blocks can it carry?
About company's worth, up to.
So basically, the companies are turning to fly out in separate
aircraft. Yeah.
Did you go all together in two companies?
Yeah, A company went as a group, and B company and C company and D company. So.
Where did you fly to?
Kandahar.
And were you long at Kandahar?
I was there for about half a day, if that.
Oh, so how about it's quite a quick process of processing you.
Yeah.
Where did you go to next?
I went to Camp Baston via Hercules.
How do they fly?
I fly really well, actually, to tell you the truth. it's quite a quick ascent and quite a quick descent, so you don't get hit by any missiles and that, really.
And how many were travelling in the Hercules?
Company's worth again.
So you're out at Camp Baston, what's the process of what you have to do when you're arriving there?
Basically, you get all your kits put away, and then you go see, I think we went and got something to eat as well first, and then we had a couple of lectures, and before you know it, 3 days later, we're out on the ground. So.
Did you have a chance to play your weapons or anything like that?
Well, we did our zeroing in that before we went out there. So.
Where were you on the ground? Where did you get sent you to first?
Could track you down first.
How did you get out there?
Chinook, sorry.
Again, with the Chinook, is there a method of, you know, inflating and deplaning from the Chinook that you have to learn? And did it vary again when you were getting off the jet?
We got told that we had to be on and off within 20 seconds, but obviously that varied with the amount of kit that you got on, because you've got like all your kit, and that's a bit heavy to get up. But yeah, we normally got off within 20, 30 seconds, so.
And how does the Chinook fly in that terrain? What's the method they
use? They fly quite low, to tell you the truth. I mean, obviously, because the water out there is quite reflects the sun quite well. So obviously, quite a lot of time the flares are going off, and you think, oh shit, missile. But when they come in, they Jajaki's like near a top of a reservoir, a bit like a canyon. They can fly in between that, so quite fun, but nerve-wracking at the same time. You think, oh god, you're going to clip the side.
And the basic Kajaki, can you describe that to me?
Yeah, it's an old hotel. There's a lot. You had showers in there, but they didn't work till about halfway through the tour. You had 4 APs overlooking the actual camp itself. Sparrowhawk East, Sparrowhawk West, Athens, Normandy. And basically, what's for about 8 to 6k out. But the actual camp itself was actually quite a good accommodation. Like, you had 4 or 5 man rooms. So, yeah, that's quite good.
And do you have cooking facilities there?
The chef had his own separate area, about 10 metres from where we were sleeping. He had all his food and stores and that in there. We had a wash facility, which had its own water supply by an old swimming pool. And he had all the head shed and ops room had their own little bit as well. So, and the actual main company was just in the like little accommodation bit.
And what protection does the camp have?
Has one stag position in the natural camp itself, And you've got another stag system that the Afghan National Army does, because they're like joined on to us. But most of the time, your best like defence is the OPs, because they can scout further.
How secure was the actual
That was actually quite secure. I mean, the only, I'd say the only downfall is because where the reservoir is, went up to the OPs. So, obviously, the OPs have a 360 degree, but that's like a quite steep slope, so if someone wanted to get up there, they could, but they might trip a claimer off or something like that, so.
And what would you mean, roll up by the dam? Was there a roll up or something that the company was doing?
We basically had to keep, we'll push out 6k so I could get a turbine in, so could space more protection roll.
And that's part of the rebuilding process, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that is, yeah.
So, what did you do when you first arrived? What was your first job when you got there?
My first job was going up in the OPs for about a week.
Which one did you go up to?
I went up to Sparrowhawk East.
Now, can you describe that to me, the layout of the OP and what you could see from?
Yeah, that's basically a small buildings holding up to about six men, and you had a surveillance camera up on top as well, and you had two 50 caliber machine gun posts, one GMG, you had your own little shower, we had a like, makeshift gym, like using pickets and ammunition crates, things like that. We had a stag post, we had two stag posts to the rear, and Jeep and G position as well.
And how did you get the supplies up there?
They were already up there, but mainly we had a LZ for a Chinook to drop things off by under slung.
And what's the sort of view that you got out from the old
thing? I'd say it was actually quite spectacular. It was, breathtaking, really, to tell you the truth. Especially when you're going up to Kajaki south, it's like where the river goes, like all nice and green, and cross the road, and it's like completely desolate and barren. So, two different worlds there, really.
And did you have a good sort of overall vision of any movement that was occurring?
Yeah, you did. Like I say, if you're up on those peaks, you'd probably see up to 6k easily. So.
But did you have a specific role within there, or would you man any of the weapons in there if you needed to?
We're man, and like you get taught, obviously, because I'm with FSG, Charlie, like fire support group, whose main role were the 50 cals and GMG, but they teach you the basics on it, so if anything does kick off, then you are trained to use it. But your main role is just stagging on up there, really, until the patrol does go out and you keep what, like, keep an eye on them, sort of thing.
And is that easy to do from that position? Is it a good range?
Yeah, it is. Quite easy to do because you've always got eyes on them really until they start getting the compounds. But even then, you got like a map with different compound numbers. When they say, yeah, 114, you look at the map, but yeah, 114, same.
Oh, so is everything greeded out almost in the immediate area?
Yeah, well, you've got like everything's gridded out, and each like town has got like different building numbers, so it does make the job a hell of a lot easier.
So you can pinpoint that to any building within the range that you can
see?
Yeah,
pretty much, yeah.
While you were up there, did you have to support patrols moving?
Not for the first week, no. It was the second time I went up there,
So that first time, was it relatively quiet at that stage?
Yeah, I think because everyone was like, didn't really go out much today, truth.
Oh, so it's like everybody was establishing where they were and what they were, themselves sorted in the camp before they... So, that period you came down from the OPs, what was the next thing that you were involved
in? Taking Mazdrak, really, for the second time.
Okay, can you take me through that, obviously, how that pans out as much detail as you can remember?
Went on patrol. Held up in a wadi, and the RAF come in, dropped some bombs in. We then moved up to like a little building, really, about 500 metres worth of open ground, At this point, you think, oh God, because you know they are in there. Because the first time I went in there, that's what, quite a big contact. So you run across 500 metres, you get in the building, like, a bit hanging out because of all the kit you're carrying. And for me, that was particularly hard because I wasn't the biggest bloke in there, GPMG. It's quite a bit of heavy kit. Once you add like all the ammo as well. Take the first compound, then the next section comes up, pushes through you. They take the next building, then the third section comes up, pushes through them. And basically like leapfrog through each other.
Had you been on the fire at this point when you were going to Oslo?
No, it's relatively quiet. And we went up to an old mosque, ruined. That's when it really started to kick off proper.
The compounds, what are they constructed of?
Mud, really. Mud and bits of straw, stone. I mean, for something that's made of that, it's probably stronger than a concrete building. Because we were dropping bombs on them and just putting a little dent in it, really, to tell you the truth.
So you like a solid sandbag or something?
Yeah, well, at the bottom of it, I'd say it's at least 4 foot thick. And as it goes off, it goes up, it gets to about 1 foot.
So do they offer you protection from
all the
photographers?
Yeah, they do, yeah. They're quite handy like that.
So you got through into the compounds and to the mosque. How did the contact develop from there?
We got opened up on from across the what, like the M1, which is like a code name for the main wadi. And there must have been about 40 odd Taliban, I reckon, something like that, because there's a hell of a lot of firepower come down. And me and my mate, my number two, Private Warner, put a hole in the wall. We had to like get his bayonet, stab the brick out, use the butt of my GPMG, put a hole in the wall, put some sand down so it don't kick over the dust and start getting rounds down. But yeah, it was quite.
What could you see to your
front? It's like burst, really, just.
You couldn't see.
That was difficult because they're like, take a few pop shots at you, get you on cover, take some more pop shots at you. I mean, me and mate Joe got told to move location into like some crater, and the place we had to go to was just about big enough to get one person behind. And I told Joe to stay there because obviously it's not worth risking himself just because he's number two anyway. Because he had to provide cover because he had three blokes in a little building just down. They had to come up a hill, which obviously they'd been exposed. So got some cover down and they got up. They got my head down for a little bit because there's rounds pinging up on my, next to my gun. Got my head up again, about to pull the trigger, and next thing I know, fucking head jolted back. I got a shot on the side of the head.
Where did it hit
you? Went under my helmet, across the side of my skull, and took it middle part of my ear out, hit the back of my helmet, and got lodged in my back plate.
So what happened next with that? Were you slightly out of it for a while, obviously, with that situation?
Jerry told me that after my head went back, I was like slumped over my gun, and obviously you could see like the blood trickling out, and first of all, he thought he got shot in the neck, so he passed it down, and next thing I know, woke up, just fell back. Like, my head was fucking pounding. I just felt like someone just hit me around the head with a sledgehammer.
Did you think it was worse at the time than it was? Are we not sure at all?
I wasn't sure at all, to tell you the truth, because I could feel the blood like come down the top of that. Jacket was a bit soaked. So Joe pulled me the cover, took my helmet off, and got a face full of projectile blood in his mouth. So,
it essentially really just grazed the side, though.
Yeah,
I've
actually got a little graze on the side of my skull because it just went straight across there.
So, how were you? Were you still out of it as he pulled it? Were you checking you out?
Yeah, I was just screwing my head off, really.
So. Were you slightly concussed from it?
Yeah, it blew my eardrum up as the bullet went past, so I couldn't like, I lost all sense of balance and that, and they tried to stand me up, just went down my feet, really.
What happened to you? Did you evacuate?
Yeah, because I had RPGs, airburst, and they rolled me over the impact crater, rolled down. I just remember seeing like massage's feet as I rolled past him. He got me up. He took me back to the medic we had. He changed the field dressing on the side of my head. He just chucked it down the front between my legs, and I just went, looked out, just felt sick. I just peeked over someone's leg, I think, as I remember. Then, after he'd done that, I got put on the Sergeant Major's quad bike, got taken back to Pins, which is like an armed vehicle. Got put in the back of that. At this point, Chinook's been called with the medical team on board. So as soon as I got to HLS, the Chinook was about ready to land. So that was quite quick.
But were you still unable to stand with your balance car, were you?
I was laying on the stretcher at this point, so.
When you've been evacuated on the quad bike, how did he do that? What has he got?
He's got a trailer on the back. He basically strapped the stretcher to it and put you on the stretcher and strapped the stretcher onto you, or strapped you to the stretcher.
And how are you feeling at this stage? Were you still out of it, or were you?
Yeah, I was just like in and out of consciousness. I was like a bit blurry, really.
So when you evacuated, where did they take you to?
Went to Camp Bastion straight away.
And what was the treatment?
That was really good. As soon as I got off the Chinook, I got put in the back of an ambulance, then had a CAT scan straight away, and went straight into surgery.
And what was the outcome of that? What were they saying?
From the CAT scan, the left side of my brain was bruised, and like I said, I was really lucky because of about half a millimetre more, that would have took the side of my head off.
And what had been the round that had done it? Was it in?
That was a 7.62 short.
So how did you? Were you at Camp Bastion for a while, or did they evacuate you back to the UK?
I was at Camp Bastion for about a week because I left a wound open, so it didn't get an infection. Then on the Wednesday they closed up, and on Friday I went back to England with the first lot of R&R.
So how were you feeling at that stage?
Alright, really, because I've done quite a lot more things. So.
But were you feeling, were you starting to feel a little bit, had you recovered?
Not really, because obviously cause brain was bruised, it was giving me quite a lot of headaches, and I couldn't really sit up for a long period of time. And Private Warren is actually on the same flight as me, so.
What happened to him?
He's going home for 2 weeks.
So when you got back to the UK, what was the...
I got to Bryce Norton, got put in an ambulance, and got driven up to Birmingham Hospital, Elizabeth Hospital. But after that, I've got to say, I wasn't really impressed with it, to tell you the truth, medical center. I got there on a Saturday, and didn't get seen to until Tuesday.
Oh,
right.
So did they explain to you the reason?
Because it was Bank Holiday Monday. Apparently no doctors come in on the Bank Holiday Monday, but I think that's completely not a bollocks to tell you the truth. It's alright.
So, when they started to look at you, what was your state by the time they started to examine you on Tuesday?
Well, the swelling had gone down a bit, but obviously wasn't gone down that much. I had two more CAT scans, one with dye and one without dye, obviously so you get a better feel of things. But on the whole, that was looking quite good, so.
Did they relay that to you, the results of that?
Yeah, it did. Well, not like showing me on screen, but basically like word of mouth sort of thing.
How were your family reacting? Obviously, you've got home.
I phoned my mum up when I was in Camp Bastion, the afternoon that happened, and she went, I mean, all right, mum, she went, yeah, it sounded a bit funny. I went, yeah, I'm in hospital. She went, well, what's wrong? I've been shot in the side of the head. And the phone just went quiet. I just went, don't worry, I'm alright, though. And she just he tells us what to cry, but it didn't. So I passed it to a doctor and he explained it to her. So.